All right, good morning. It is Thursday, November 14th of 2019, and I just want to give you an update. I mean, with the impeachment materials that began to go live yesterday, which, quite honestly, was a joke. If you watched or heard any of the clips from it, it was actually worse than I thought it was going to be, as far as it just being a circus, just a show. But we know we've got several more days, if not weeks, of this going ahead. There's eight people that have been called, officially announced to be called for next week. We've got Yovanovitch that's going to be in the seat on Friday, tomorrow, and it'll be interesting to see how all of that goes. Yesterday's people ended up being, again, like I said, a joke. I mean, it was just a pony show is all it was. And we know that that's going to continue to be the case until they get through this process and they decide if they are or are not going to do anything with it in the Senate. And who knows where that will go. I mean, I'm kind of on both sides. There's a part of me that would like to do the, this is immaterial, we're not even going to acknowledge it in the Senate and it's over. But there's another part of me that's saying, no, I would like to see it go through the Senate in order for them to pull the people in they did not pull in by the House, so that legitimate testimonies can come out about other matters, the things that really are important. Because we all know that for 2+ years, nearly 2 full years of investigation, everything was about Russia. And then all of a sudden, the impeachment itself is about Ukraine. And there are people that are just automatically just assuming, well, this is just a natural process of what they've been going through. No, they've been talking Russia. And then now they've skipped out of that and they've gone and they've changed the term from collusion to extortion. And here we are with Ukraine. For those of you that are under the assumption that Ukraine just appeared out of nowhere in all this, I want to read an article to you that comes from 2017. In fact, it comes from January 11th, 2017, okay, several days, almost 2 weeks, before Trump even took office. And it's about Ukraine. And it's about the election. And it's about interference that was there from the very beginning. So here's the article. It was by Kenneth Vogel and David Stern. And it was released early hour mornings of January 11th, 2017. And here is how it went. Donald Trump wasn't the only presidential candidate whose campaign was boosted by officials of a former Soviet bloc country. Ukrainian government officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump by publicly questioning his fitness for office. They also disseminated documents implicating a top Trump aide in corruption, and suggested they were investigating the matter, only to back away after the election. And they helped Clinton's allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors, a Politico investigation found. Now, let me pause there for a second. Politico did an investigation, and in this they found Ukrainian government had tried to help Hillary Clinton undermine Trump early on in the stages. And then once the election took place, they backed away. So here's how the article continues. A Ukrainian-American operative who was consulting for the Democratic National Committee met with top officials in the Ukrainian embassy in Washington in an effort to expose ties between Trump, top campaign aide Paul Manafort, and Russia, according to people with direct knowledge of the situation. The Ukrainian efforts had an impact in the race, helping to force Manafort's resignation and advancing the narrative that Trump's campaign was deeply connected to Ukraine's foe to the east, Russia. But they were far less concerted or centrally directed than Russia's alleged hacking and dissemination of Democratic emails. Russia's effort was personally directed by Russian President Vladimir Putin, involved in the country's military and foreign intelligence services, according to U.S. intelligence officials. They reportedly briefed Trump last week. This would have been at the beginning of January of 2017, on the possibility that Russian operatives might have compromising information on the president-elect. And at a Senate hearing last week on the hacking, Director of National Intelligence James Clapper said, quote, "I don't think we've ever encountered a more aggressive or direct campaign to interfere in our election process than we've seen in this case," unquote. There's little evidence of such a top-down effort by Ukraine. Let me repeat that. There's little evidence of such a top-down effort by Ukraine. Longtime observers suggest that the rampant corruption, factionalism, and economic struggles plaguing the country, not to mention its ongoing strife with Russia, would render it unable to pull off an ambitious covert interference campaign in another country's election. And President Petro Poroshenko's administration, along with the Ukrainian embassy in Washington, insists that Ukraine stayed neutral in the race. Yet, Politico's investigation found evidence of Ukrainian government involvement in the race that appears to strain diplomatic protocol, dictating that governments refrain from engaging in one another's elections. Russia's meddling has sparked outrage from the American body politic. The U.S. intelligence community undertook the rare move of publicizing its findings on the matter, and President Barack Obama took several steps to officially retaliate, while members of Congress continued pushing for more investigations into the hacking and a harder line against Russia, which was already viewed in Washington as America's leading foreign adversary. Ukraine, on the other hand, has traditionally enjoyed strong relations with U.S. administrations. Its officials worry that could change under Trump, whose team has privately expressed sentiments ranging from ambivalence to deep skepticism about Poroshenko's regime, while sounding unusually friendly notes about Putin's regime. Poroshenko is scrambling to alter that dynamic, recently signing a $50,000 a month contract with a well-connected GOP-linked Washington lobbying firm to set up meetings with U.S. government officials, quote, to strengthen U.S.-Ukrainian relations, unquote. Relations about Ukraine's anti-Trump efforts could further set back those efforts. Quote, "Things seem to be going from bad to worse for Ukraine," said David A. Merkel, a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, who helped oversee U.S. relations with Russia and Ukraine while working in George W. Bush's State Department and National Security Council. Merkel, who has served as an election observer in Ukrainian presidential elections dating back to 1993, noted there's some irony in Ukraine and Russia taking opposite sides in the 2016 presidential race, given that past Ukrainian elections were widely viewed in Washington's foreign policy community as proxy wars between the U.S. and Russia. Quote, "Now it seems that a U.S. election may have been seen as a surrogate battle by those in Kyiv and Moscow," Merkel said. The Ukrainian antipathy for Trump's team and alignment with Clinton's can be traced back to late 2013. That's when the country's president, Viktor Yanukovych, whom Manafort had been advising, abruptly backed out of a European Union pact linked to anti-corruption reforms. Instead, Yanukovych entered into a multi-billion dollar bailout agreement with Russia, sparking protests across Ukraine and prompting Yanukovych to flee the country to Russia under Putin's protection. In the ensuing crisis, Russian troops moved into the Ukrainian territory of Crimea, and Manafort dropped off the radar. Manafort's work for Yanukovych caught the attention of a veteran Democratic operative named Alexandra Chalupa, who had worked in the White House Office of Public Liaison during the Clinton administration. Chalupa went on to work as a staffer, then as a consultant for Democratic National Committee. The DNC paid her $412,000 from 2014 to June 2016, from 2004 to June 2016, according to Federal Election Commission records. Though she also was paid by other clients during that time, including Democratic campaigns and the DNC's arm for engaging expatriate Democrats around the world. A daughter of Ukrainian immigrants who maintained strong ties to the Ukrainian-American diaspora and the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine, Chalupa, a lawyer by training, in 2014 was doing pro bono work for another client interested in the Ukrainian crisis and began researching Manafort's role in Yanukovych's rise, as well as his ties to the pro-Russian oligarchs who funded Yanukovych's political party. In an interview this month, again January of 2017, Chalupa told Politico she had developed a network of sources in Kiev and Washington, including investigative journalists, government officials, and private intelligence operatives. While her consulting work at the DNC this past election cycle centered on mobilizing ethnic communities, including Ukrainian Americans, she said that when Trump's unlikely presidential campaign began surging in late 2015, she began focusing more on the research and expanded it to include Trump's ties to Russia as well. She occasionally shared her findings with officials from the DNC and Clinton's campaign, Chalupa said. In January 2016, months before Manafort had taken any role in Trump's campaign, Chalupa told a senior DNC official that when it came to Trump's campaign, quote, I felt there was a Russia connection, Chalupa recalled. Quote, and that there was, that we can expect Paul Manafort to be involved in this election, said Chalupa, who at the time also was warning leaders in the Ukrainian-American community that Manafort was, quote, Putin's political brain for manipulating U.S. foreign policy and elections. She said she shared her concern with Ukraine's ambassador to the U.S., Valery Chely, and one of his top aides, Oksana Shugel, during a March 2016 meeting at the Ukrainian embassy. According to someone briefed on the meeting, Chely said that Manafort was very much on his radar, but that he wasn't particularly concerned about the operative's ties to Trump, since he didn't believe Trump stood much of a chance of winning the GOP nomination, let alone the presidency. That was not an uncommon view at the time, and perhaps as a result, Trump's ties to Russia, let alone Manafort's, were not the subject of much attention. That all started to change just 4 days after Chalupa's meeting at the embassy, when it was reported that Trump had, in fact, hired Manafort, suggesting that Chalupa may have been on to something. She quickly found herself in high demand. The day after Manafort's hiring was revealed, she briefed the DNC's communications staff on Manafort, Trump, and their ties to Russia, according to an operative familiar with the situation. A former DNC staffer described the exchange as an informal conversation, saying, briefing makes it sound way too formal, and adding, we were not directing or driving her work on this. Yet the former DNC staffer and the operative familiar with the situation agreed that with the DNC's encouragement, Chalupa asked embassy staff to try to arrange an interview in which Poroshenko might discuss Manafort's ties to Yanukovych. While the embassy declined that request, officials there became helpful in Chalupa's efforts, she said, explaining that she traded information and leads with them. Quote, if I asked a question, they would provide guidance, or if there was someone I needed to follow up with. But she stressed, quote, there were no documents given, nothing like that. Chalupa said the embassy also worked directly with reporters researching Trump, Manafort, and Russia to point them in the right directions. She added, though, quote, they were being very protective and not speaking to the press as much as they should have. I think they were being careful because their situation was that they had to be very, very careful because they could not pick sides. It's a political issue, and they didn't want to get involved politically because they couldn't, unquote. Shulyer vehemently denied working with reporters or with Chalupa on anything related to Trump or Manafort, explaining, quote, we were stormed by many reporters to comment on this subject, but were clear and adamant position was not to give any comment and not to interfere with the campaign affairs, unquote. Both Schuller and Chalupa said the purpose of their initial meeting was to organize a June reception at the embassy to promote Ukraine. According to the embassy's website, the event highlighted female Ukrainian leaders, featuring speeches by Ukrainian parliamentarian Hanna Hopko, who discussed Ukraine's fight against the Russian aggression in Donbas, and longtime Hillary Clinton confidant Mylène Verwier, who worked for Clinton in the State Department and was a voice surrogate during the presidential campaign. Schuller said her work with Chalupa didn't involve the campaign, and she specifically stressed that, quote, "We have never worked to research and disseminate damaging information about Donald Trump and Paul Manafort," unquote. But Andrei Telshenko, who worked as a political officer in the Ukrainian embassy under Schuller, said she instructed him to help Chalupa research connections between Trump, Manafort, and Russia. Quote, "Oksana said that if I had any information or knew other people who did, then I should contact Chalupa," recalled Telshenko, who is now a political consultant in Kiev. Quote, "They were coordinating an investigation with the Hillary team on Paul Manafort with Alexandra Chalupa," he said, adding, quote, "Oksana was keeping it all quiet, but," quote, "the embassy worked very closely with Chalupa." In fact, sources familiar with the effort say that Schuller specifically called Telshenko into a meeting with Chalupa to provide an update on an American media outlet's ongoing investigation into Manafort. Telshenko recalled that Chalupa told him and Schuller that, quote, "if he could get enough information on Paul Manafort or Trump's involvement with Russia, she can get a hearing in Congress by September." Chalupa confirmed that a week after Manafort's hiring was announced, she discussed the possibility of a congressional investigation with a foreign policy and legislative assistant in the office of Representative Marcy Kaptur, Democrat out of Ohio, who co-chairs the Congressional Ukrainian Caucus. But Chalupa said, quote, "it didn't go anywhere." Asked about the effort, the Kaptur legislative assistant called it a touchy subject in an internal email to colleagues that was accidentally forwarded to Politico. Kaptur's office later emailed an official statement explaining that the lawmaker is backing a bill to create an independent commission to investigate, quote, "possible outside interference in our elections." The office added, quote, "at this time, the evidence related to this matter points to Russia, but Congresswoman Kaptur is concerned with any evidence of foreign entities interfering in our elections." Almost as quickly as Chalupa's efforts attracted the attention of the Ukrainian embassy and Democrats, she also found herself the subject of some unwanted attention from overseas. Within a few weeks of her initial meeting at the embassy with Schuller and Chali, Chalupa on April 20th received the first of what became a series of messages from the administrators of her private Yahoo email account, warning her that state-sponsored actors were trying to hack into her emails. She kept up her crusade, appearing on the panel a week after the initial hacking message to discuss her research on Manafort with a group of Ukrainian investigative journalists gathered at the Library of Congress for a program sponsored by a U.S. congressional agency called the Open World Leadership Center. Center spokeswoman Mara Sheldon stressed that her group is nonpartisan and ensures, quote, "that our delegations hear from both sides of the aisle, receiving bipartisan information." She said the Ukrainian journalist in subsequent days met with Republican officials in North Carolina and elsewhere. And she said that before the Library of Congress event, quote, Open World's program manager for Ukraine did contact Chalupa to advise her that Open World is a nonpartisan agency of the Congress. Chalupa, though, indicated in an email that was later hacked and released by WikiLeaks that the Open World Leadership Center, quote, "put me on the program to speak specifically about Paul Manafort." In the email, which was sent in early May to then DNC Communications Director Louis Miranda, Chalupa noted that she had extended an invitation to the Library of Congress Forum to veteran Washington investigative reporter Michael Isikoff, 2 days before the event, he had published a story for Yahoo News revealing the unraveling of a $26 million deal between Manafort and a Russian oligarch related to a telecommunications venture in Ukraine. And Chalupa wrote in the email she'd been working with for the past few weeks with Isikoff and connected him to the Ukrainians at the event. Isikoff, who accompanied Chalupa to a reception at the Ukrainian embassy immediately after the Library of Congress event, declined to comment. Chalupa further indicated in her hacked May email to the DNC that she had additional sensitive information about Manafort that she intended to share offline with Miranda and DNC Research Director Lauren Dillon, including, quote, a big Trump component you and Lauren need to be aware of that will hit in the next few weeks and something I'm working on you should be aware of. Explaining that she didn't feel comfortable sharing the intel over email, Chalupa attached a screenshot of a warning from Yahoo administrators about state-sponsored hacking on her account, explaining, quote, since I started digging into Manafort, these messages have been a daily occurrence on my Yahoo account, despite changing my password often. Dillon and Miranda declined to comment. A DNC official stressed that Chalupa was a consultant paid to do outreach for the party's political department, not a researcher. She understood her investigations into Trump, Manafort, and Russia on her own, and the party did not incorporate her findings in its dossiers on the subjects, the official said, stressing that the DNC had been building robust research books on Trump and his ties to Russia long before Chalupa began sounding alarms. Nevertheless, Chalupa's hacked email reportedly escalated concerns among top party officials, hardening their conclusion that Russia likely was behind the cyber intrusions with which the party was only then beginning to grapple. Chalupa left the DNC after the Democratic Convention in late July to focus full-time on her research into Manafort, Trump, and Russia. She said she provided off-the-record information and guidance to a lot of journalists working on stories related to Manafort and Trump's Russia connections, despite what she described as escalating harassment. About a month and a half after Chalupa first started receiving hacking alerts, someone broke into her car outside the Northwest Washington home where she lives with her husband and three young daughters, she said. They rampaged it, basically, but didn't take anything valuable, left money, sunglasses, $1,200 worth of golf clubs, she said, explaining she didn't file a police report after that incident because she didn't connect it to her research and the hacking. Yet no one stole anything in her car. But by the time a similar vehicle break-in occurred involving two family cars, she was convinced that it was a Russia-linked intimidation campaign. The police report on the latter break-in noted that, quote, both vehicles were unlocked by an unknown person and the interior was ransacked with papers and the garage openers scattered throughout the cars. Nothing was taken from the vehicles, unquote. Then, early in the morning on another day, a woman, quote, wearing white flowers in her hair, tried to break into her family's home at 1:30 a.m., Chalupa said. Schuyler told Chalupa that the mysterious incident bore some of the hallmarks of intimidation campaigns used against foreigners in Russia, according to Chalupa. Quote, this is something that they do to U.S. diplomats. They do it to Ukrainians. Like, this is how they operate. They break into people's homes. They harass people. They're theatrical about it, Chalupa said. Quote, they must have seen when I was writing to the DNC staff, outlining who Manafort was, pulling articles, saying why it was significant, and painting the bigger picture. In a Yahoo News story naming Chalupa as one of 16 ordinary people who shaped the 2016 election, Isikoff wrote that after Chalupa left the DNC, FBI agents investigating the hacking questioned her and examined her laptop and smartphone. Chalupa this month told Politico that as her research and role in the election started becoming more public, she began receiving death threats, along with continued alerts of state-sponsored hacking. But she said, quote, none of this has scared me off. While it's not uncommon for outside operatives to serve as intermediaries between governments and reporters, one of the more damaging Russia-related stories for the Trump campaign, and certainly for Manafort, can be traced more directly to the Ukrainian government. Documents released by an independent Ukrainian government agency and published by a parliamentarian appear to show $12.7 million in cash payments that were earmarked for Manafort by the Russia-aligned party of the deposed former president Yanukovych. The New York Times, in the August story revealing the ledger's existence, reported that the payments earmarked for Manafort were a focus of an investigation by Ukrainian anti-corruption officials, while CNN reported days later that the FBI was pursuing an overlapping inquiry. So there was a Ukrainian investigation going on in 2017 or 16. Clinton's campaign seized on the story to advance Democrats' arguments that Trump's campaign was closely linked to Russia. The ledger represented, quote, more troubling connections between Donald Trump's team and pro-Kremlin elements in Ukraine, Bobby Mook, Clinton's campaign manager, said in a statement. He demanded that Trump disclose campaign chair Paul Manafort's and all other campaign employees and advisors' ties to Russia or pro-Kremlin entities, including whether any of Trump's employees or advisors are currently representing and or being paid by them. Unquote. A former Ukrainian investigative journalist and current parliamentarian named Shihei Lyshenko, who was elected in 2014 as part of Poroshenko's party, held a news conference to highlight the ledgers and to urge Ukrainian and American law enforcement to aggressively investigate Manafort. Quote, I believe and understand the basis of these payments are totally against the law. We have the proof from these books, Lyshenko said during the news conference, which attracted international media coverage. Quote, if Mr. Manafort denies any allegations, I think he has to be interrogated into this case and prove his position that he was not involved in any misconduct on the territory of Ukraine, Lyshenko added. Manafort denied receiving any off-books cash from Yanukovych's party of regions, and said that he had never been contacted about the ledger by Ukrainian or American investigators, later telling Politico, I was just caught in the crossfire. According to a series of memos reportedly compiled for Trump's opponents by a former British intelligence agent, we now know that to be, of course, Christopher Steele, Yanukovych, in a secret meeting with Putin on the day after the Times published its report. So there you go. There is our article, and at least the part of the article that I'm going to read, I'm going to go with. So you see where it all comes from. Ukraine goes way back to the very beginning of this whole thing, before they had anything else. This is before the special counsel. This is before all of this went on. And this is, 9 months before John Durham gets hired, October 28th of 2017, which was also the same day that Q does its first official drop in what is now a famous 2 years of drops. There were Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump. They backfired. But ironically enough, it all was going on, starting out on the Obama administration, and it didn't get stopped. Ukraine has been a part of this from the very beginning, but not the part that is currently being investigated, so to speak, investigated as part of an impeachment inquiry in the House. Ukraine is a very sensitive issue, but it's a sensitive issue for the Democrats, for the DNC, not for Trump. We've been saying this for a long time, but all you have to do is go back and look at the pre-existing articles. All you have to do is look at the history, and you very easily see how it's all been a manipulation. It's all a reflection, a mirror of what was really going on. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this was interesting. Hopefully it was informative. You can always look up Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire, Politico, January 11th, 2017, if you want to read more about this event beyond what I had or see an actual record of this. But I thought this was worth bringing. Where we go one, we go all.